Amen. Now we're talking about this subject, and I believe I'm going to kind of finish this today, but I want to kind of put, you know, they say we have a cake, we have icing, put the cherry right on the top here. But the most important thing is that you walk away with a better grasp of this. And we're talking about the power of the tongue. We're talking about faith, but faith, if it's not spoken, I'm going to say this again, faith, in order for faith to work, we talk about faith in Romans 10:17, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we know faith, you can get faith by hearing me teach or someone teach or reading the word of God. Faith can come by hearing. But one way that faith comes is hearing yourself say it. Hearing yourself speak the word of God, things of faith. Faith comes by hearing. Now, once faith comes, this is what I'm going to say here. In order for faith to work, it must be in two places at the same time. And it has to be in those two places at the same time. Where? In your heart, talking about your spirit, and in your mouth. And if it's not in both places at the same time, faith doesn't work. Because it says in James, faith, being alone, is dead. So it says that faith without works is dead. Well, we can say faith, if I just believe and I don't speak, faith is dead. If I speak and it's not in my heart, this is what Mark 11:23 said. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things, what? That they say shall come to pass, they shall have whatsoever they saith. So it's not just you saying something. So I can say something and doubt in my heart, it won't work. Everybody understand? So faith must be in your heart. That's where faith comes. Faith comes into the heart. But it must be spoken. Faith activated is something spoken. So faith being activated, that's what we're talking about today. Faith, or the voice activated. Faith is voice activated. So when I believe something, in order for faith to be activated, it must be spoken. You look at how God created the world. He could have just thought about creating the world. But he did what? He spoke it into existence. And so faith spoken activates the power of God. And this is something, I wrote this note down because this is some things that T.L. Osborne, some of you may not know who he was, but he was a worldwide evangelist. He had hundreds of thousands during his time come to his crusades. This is something that he said. He shared that the secret to the power manifested in the crusades was simply announcing the promises to the gospel, to the people. Announcing the promises of God to the people. He said that was the secret to the power. It wasn't his power. The power of God is in the word of God. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And he said, T.L. Osborne said, the power is in the announcement. That's a powerful statement. He said, the power is in the announcement. What does that mean? If I don't speak the word of God, the power, I can read it, but if I don't speak it, no power released. So for him, he began to see that revelation. When he said, when I got up in front of 50 or 100,000 people, pronouncing the word of God, released the power of God. So he didn't even lay hands on people. You saw hundreds of thousands of people in those crusades being ministered. You saw crutches go up and blind eyes. There's a man that I was sharing who lives right here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. He's a former Muslim. He's traveled the world. He has crusades in Pakistan and Bangladesh, and he'll have 100,000 people in his crusades. He pronounces the gospel. And I watch him on, I look at him on Facebook. And he said, people with blind eyes, people that scooted across the ground, couldn't walk, said, leaving those crusades, seeing, hearing, walking. He didn't lay hands on them. Too many people. You just pronounce the gospel. So the power was in the pronouncement. And that's what he said. Spoken words release power. And so the faith that we have, if I don't speak what's in my heart, faith lies dormant. You can be stirred in your heart and believe God, but if I don't release what I believe, then it lies dormant. And that's exactly what happens. You can believe. Think about this. Think of simple examples. And I'm doing. Not trying, I'm blue, doing here. But you must believe. Now, I'm going to just share an example here. I'm going to try to do some examples here today. I've got about this, a little over $100 here. So I'm going to walk over. This is an example. I'm not giving this to him. It's a little over 100. Hands are out, right? Hands are out. So everybody has a need. I understand that. Believe God for yourself. This is an example. I'm going to put this in his hand here, right? He's holding on to it. Right. So now, Minister Joe has something, right? He believes he has some money. Now, he's like, yes, I've got some money here. Yes, sir. But you've got to first, in order for faith to work, you must believe you received something, right? So for faith to work, I must believe I've got something. I know I've got something from God. From the promises of God. God has said, I have already redeemed you from the curse of the law. He said, you are righteous in me. You're not going to get righteous. He said, if you're in Christ, you are righteous. He's already said in Romans chapter 5, he said, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. Wow, how? By the Holy Ghost. Romans 8, he said, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is quickening your mortal body. So there's some things that are already promised. Well, it's nice, isn't it? But you've got to believe I got it. Amen. See, that's where faith comes in. So now he's got it. He believes he's got it. Why? Because he can see it. He sees it. Yes, sir. Now, you've got to believe. Faith is, what does Romans 11:1 say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Well, he can see that. So he's got it. He received it. But faith believes it's got something. It's the substance of something hoped for, the evidence of something not seen. Right? And I believe what? When I have faith, I believe I've got it. Just the same way he took that money and he said, I've got it. This is mine. But now, here, see, if he just shouted and said, glory to God, I got money, but he didn't spend it, what good would it do him? Nothing. He's got money, but he's not spending it. So it did him no good. Longhorn. Right, you go to Longhorn. Hey, whatever you like. See, you can spend it on whatever you like, right? But the point is that if I don't release my words, just like that money, if I don't go in and say, I have money to spend. Right, if I have something, faith, when it believes it has something, it acts. Faith acts. So the same way, if faith believes it has something, it speaks. You speak what you believe. You spend enough time around people, and they'll tell you what they believe. You'll hear it. You'll believe this about the government. I believe this about this. I believe this about my friends. I believe this. They ain't no good. This, stop, up. Your parents will tell you what they believe about you. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. I've been around people that have been around parents that told them nothing but bad news all the time. You'll never make it. You'll never grow up to mount to a hill of beans. Right? So their parents will tell, or your boss or whoever, society will talk to you and tell you what they think you are. Well, I'll tell you what. If what they tell me doesn't line up with God's word, it goes in the trash. I don't believe it. I'm going to believe what God said about me. Right? So the same thing. If you believe you have something, then you act. Let me ask a question. Turn over to Acts chapter 3 for a second. Because there's examples in the Bible that people believed that they had something and they did something. Acts chapter 3. And look at verse. We'll start at 2. And I just want to do this real quick. Acts chapter 3. And this is Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And it says, and a certain man, this is verse 2, I'm reading from the King James, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. So he couldn't get around. He had to be carried everywhere. Whom they laid daily. So he had to stay wherever he was until he was moved, right? Whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. He's looking for a handout, like Minister Joe. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And look at verse 5 and 6. It said, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive a handout. And it said, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, such as I what? Have. He knew he had something. Such as I have, like that money. Such as I have, give I thee. Like this. Such as I have, take me out. No.
Longhorn.
Longhorn, right. So in other words, you had something. I'm looking for something. You said, well, such as I have, give I thee. So Peter and John said, no, we don't have money to give you. We don't have alms, but such as I have. He knew he had the name of Jesus. He knew he had it. And he said, this is what I'm giving you. Rise, be healed, and walk. He was convinced that that name was something that he had. And when he spoke it, it changed something. So the point is, what do you believe you have? Do you believe you have that? See, this is the kind of things that get us over in life here. So, this here's another account. Let's go over to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, this is the man with palsy. See, these folks, they were going to get something. And they believed if they didn't have it, they'd go to somebody who did have it. Luke 5, verse 17. Luke 5, 17. And it said, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and what? And the power of the Lord was present to do what? Heal them. And so you can go on and read the story, but the power of God was present to heal them. And it said, it continued, and it said, and behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with the palsy. And of course, you know how the story goes. He couldn't get in, so they broke the roof apart and dropped him in. And Jesus said, he goes on and he says, look, your faith has healed you. Hallelujah. He told him, rise up and walk. Take up thy couch and you're healed. Your sins are forgiven, you're healed. Turn over to Mark chapter 5 and verse Mark chapter 5. Faith must be in your mouth or in your heart and in your mouth. In your heart and in your mouth. Mark chapter 5, this is the woman with the issue of blood. Starting in verse 25, and it said, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. That sounds a lot like today. People go into the doctor, some get help, some don't. Some spend all their money and they get worse. That's why I hate sickness. I don't like sickness. I don't like disease. It's been paid for. Verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, verse 28, for she did what she said. So she heard of Jesus. So faith came. And when faith came, you look in verse 28, it said what? For she said. So it was in her heart, and now she's speaking. She said, what did she say? If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And what happened? Verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed, and Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And of course, you can read the rest of the story. But the other translations, it said, for she said, if you read most of the other translations, the Amplified, it says, for she kept saying. She kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. She kept saying that. So it was in her heart, and she said it and kept saying it. And the another translation, same thing, Weiss translation said, for she kept saying, if I touch even his garments, I shall be whole. So this story here talks about faith being in the heart and being activated. What activated the power of God? That's the whole story. Jesus is pressed. Man, I've been down. What was it, last year? I took some guests down. We took some guests that came in for the Eddie James concert. They wanted to go down to New York City. So we took them down to Times Square. It wasn't New Year's Eve. It felt like New Year's Eve. We took them down there. And I'm telling you, at 8 o'clock at night, there were so many people in Times Square, you couldn't move. I'm serious. You could not move on the street, on the sidewalks, side to side, front to back. As far as you could see, you had to walk like this. You were walking like this. And if you wanted to get down, you couldn't. You had to. If you wanted to go to the left, you just moved with everybody. You move. You were like this. You moving like this. And I said, what is this? Is this New Year's Eve? What is this? It was just a bunch of crazy people that wanted to go down and see Times Square at night. Right? And I was one of them. But the point is that if you're pressed about, how could the power of God, that's what they said, what do you mean, Jesus, who touched me? Everybody's touching you. No, but one person touched him that activated the power of God to be released in him, for she kept saying, She kept saying. She pressed her way through. And if you read any kind of historical books in that Jewish tradition, if you had an issue of blood, which means in the case like this, if a woman had a menstrual issue, they were considered unclean. They were not allowed to be in public. If they went out in public in that condition, they could have been stoned or killed. So she took her life in her hands to even be out in public and pressing in to see Jesus. My goodness. But faith and her word speaking caused the power of God to be released. So that's why sometimes when we believe, it says, I can't walk in love with that person. Oh, really? The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. So you have it. You already have it. So it's like him. He just took the money and said, I don't have any money. I can't spend his money. He can't go to Longhorn. See, because he doesn't believe. He didn't believe he received anything. See, he could have thought, I gave him a bunch of counterfeit bills. And he said, it's worthless. And they weren't anything. So I can't spend it. See, a lot of people hear the word of God and they go, yeah. Am I right or wrong? People read the word of God and they don't believe it. They don't believe it. Yeah, but you don't understand. So what they're saying is they believe their condition, their situation is greater than what they just read out of the word of God or what they heard. So they don't value it. Faith didn't come. And then they do what? And you can tell what a person believes because they talk about their situation. So they believe what they speak. And they believe that their situation that they're in, their condition, what they're walking through is bigger and greater than what they heard. That's where their faith is. Their faith is in what they're experiencing, not in the word of God. Am I right or wrong? We've all been there. I've been there. I've believed that my condition, my situation is bigger than what I heard in the word of God. When I was a baby Christian, walking through situations, I thought, there's no way. We've all been there. But we've got to get to the point where in order for the power of God to be released into our life, into the situation that we're walking through, we've got to walk by faith. What does that mean? That means I've got to believe the word of God and then speak it even when it doesn't look like it'll change. Because the power of God will change it. So now I'm going to use another example. This is a real simple example here. We're talking about something that everybody can attest to. Everybody here, I would assume, you either rent an apartment or you own a home, or you're desirous to purchase a home. Most people have some type of heating and air conditioning in their home, right? They have something, right? Some people have central air. And if you don't have, I'll give you another example. If you have, even if you didn't have heat or air conditioning, you might have a fan, right? You got a fan, right? Something. So let's use this here. There's a thermostat over here. And so this thermostat, whoops, like a little feedback here. So this thermostat, this is a programmable thermostat here, right? So I can come over here and I can set a desired temperature. So it's a goal setter. It sets something. It sets something that I want it to be. Right? So the unit's sitting up on the roof. It's connected to the electricity. All things being equal, the unit's up on the roof. It's waiting, the potential's there to cool. The thermostat can't cool the room. It can't do that. It's not designed to do that. The design, The unit that's up on the roof is designed to produce. It's like the engine. It's designed to heat and cool. But it'll sit up there and just wait for the command. It'll just sit up there. It'll wait. It's like this book. This book here has the power in it. And it waits for the command of faith. It waits for you to command what you read and believed. Just like that engine up on the roof. That heating and air conditioning unit sits up there waiting for the command to give me heat. It waits for the command, give me cool. And it'll just sit up there and rot if you don't give anything, no command. What's the command? I got to go over to this thermostat and set a goal. Now think about it. If I walk into this room and it's 100 degrees and I want it to be 70, what do? I set the thermostat to 70 degrees. I don't have 70 degrees. I want it to be 70 degrees. Right? And the engine, the unit upstairs, is designed to take the command from the thermostat. It doesn't make decisions. See, that's the other thing. The heating and air conditioning unit that sits on the roof doesn't make decisions. That does. That's the goal setter. That thermostat, the person that sets it goes over and says, I want this room to be at 70 degrees. The unit on the roof didn't decide that. Right? So those are the things. This is a simple example. I hope you all are not unhooking from me here, because we're taking a spiritual example and we're trying to show you an application. If you don't like the conditions in your life, then you set the temperature to what you want. If you don't like it 100 degrees and you want it to be 70 in your life, you don't like the financial issues in your life, then you set that to what you desire. And the heart, like that engine up on the roof, like that heating and air conditioning unit, will work and work and work and work and work night and day. I don't have to fast. I don't have to pray. It won't clean my house. It won't make my dinner. All it's designed to do is respond to the request to be 70 degrees. And it'll run and run and run and run until it meets that temperature. Just like that woman, she said, she kept saying what? If I only touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. She kept saying what she wanted. She was deficient. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What did she hope for? To be healed. She wanted her body to be restored. And so she set something that she heard Jesus say. She said she heard of Jesus. That means the word was out that if you just go see Jesus, he'll heal you. He'll heal you. So she said, I'm going to get my healing. So she set the thermostat. If it's 90 degrees and you set the thermostat to 90, you get nothing. No change. The unit will just sit on the roof inactive because you haven't done anything. You're setting the condition, you're setting the goal the same as your condition. No change. So now here's another thing. Let's say you didn't know anything about units, and you come from another place, and you're uneducated. You see me come over here, and it's hot in this room, and I go over to this little box on the wall here, and I set this thing to a temperature, and you go, hey, I like this. This is nice. I'm going to get me one of these. Where do I buy one of these things here? And you say, well, down at the hardware store. And they go and they buy one of these little jokers, and they slap it up on their wall, and they set it to 70. Ain't nothing going on. It's still hot. How come? Well, oh, you got to buy the unit on the roof. Oh. So think about it. We all laugh. But the unit on the roof is like the heart of man. It's the heart of the heating and air conditioning system. This is nothing more than setting the goal. This just sends a request to the unit to produce something. And so it's the same thing. The unit on the roof is like the heart of man. Faith comes into the heart, and it's activated and released by what I speak. I set something, I release it, I activate it by speaking. I activate this unit on the roof by going over here and setting something on it, and it activates that unit. It'll just sit up there doing nothing until I activate it. And you activate faith by what you speak. What is what you speak? Something that you hope for. It's a goal. It's something you don't see yet. It's something you don't have yet. How many people would think you're nutty or goofy if it's 100 degrees in here and you set the thermostat at 70? People think like, what are you doing that for? Well, that's what I want to set it to. They go, you can't do that. Oh, I see. So if I speak the promises of God, something I don't have it yet, people will question you on that. They'll talk you down, say you're nuts. Why are you doing that? Why are you believing for that? Oh, so you're not believing that this unit is going to produce 70 degrees? Why are you doing that for? Because that's what I want. I want it to be cool in this room. And I have faith that that unit on the roof is going to give me what I want. No different. When I believe this Bible, and I have faith in my heart, the engine, the power is in me because of the Word of God. And I'm going to release it with faith-filled words. I hope this is not too hard for you. Because this is exactly how we walk in life. This is how we get the things that God has promised. God has promised us things in His Word. We have to believe it and say that I believe it, and it shall come to pass in my life. And it's going to take time. It may take time. Let me ask this question. What would happen if I go over to this thermostat and I set it to 70 degrees and after about a half an hour I go, ain't nothing happening. Let me jack it back up again. And then I get tired and I say, you know what? Let me jack it back down again. Let me try it again. Let me jack it back down. See, people are doing that in life. They believe the Word of God. They speak it. They don't see something happening, and then they say something else. And then they get inspired, and they start saying something in faith, and they don't see it, and they change the thermometer. They change the setting. And so faith holds on to, faith calls those things that be not. So your words spoken, just like this thermostat, the words that you speak, or like this thermostat here, it sends an impulse, an electrical impulse, up to the unit on the roof and says, give me cool. And it will keep working until this thermometer says enough. It senses in this room that it's reached temperature. The unit on the roof doesn't know it's reached temperature. This little joker over here on the room, on the wall, says, I got enough. I'm okay. I got it. We're good. So your words send an impulse. They're like seeds. They send an impulse to the heart of man in here where faith is and said, I have this. I'm going to do this. People spend billions of dollars a year. Maybe you don't, but there are people that do, that spend millions and millions of dollars to go hear motivational speakers, pump them up to say things about what they want to do. And they pay a lot of money. And a lot of them, I'm not going to say who because you may already know them, but they'll say, visualize yourself doing this. Speak and continually speak that you're going to do this. And keep doing it until you realize it. Well, that's exactly what the Word of God is. That's what the Word of God says. For free. Right? It's promised. And so these simple examples that we have show us that God has already promised prosperity. He's already promised the power of God that's in us. And the things that will change and correct things in our life have to be activated by speaking it. It's wonderful to believe it. It's wonderful to take it in and say, okay, I got it. I believe it, Lord. But now my situation is bigger than what I can change. It's bigger than I can fix. But I'm trusting you. I believe you to fix it. And I'm going to speak it because you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. And so those things, I was thinking about something last night when I was looking at my notes. Turn over to John 14 for a minute. You know, sometimes, you know, when it comes to certain things in life, people think that, well, they're special, God's hand is on them, and it's just for those special people. You are special. If you're in Christ, you are special. You're redeemed. You're part of Him. And so look at John 14. And look at verse 10. I'm going to go look at 10 and then look down at 17. But it says, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. I like this. There's a couple of translations that, let me read this from the New Living Translation. It said, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but the Father who lives in me does his work through me. Now listen to this in the Message translation. It says, the words that I speak to you aren't mere words. I don't just make them up on my own. The Father who resides in me crafts each word into a divine act. So when we speak, when God prompts us, faith is there. This is the heart of God. He stirs our heart to speak. He crafts. See, this is the thing. The Holy Spirit lives in us. God lives in us. Look at verse 17. It says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. If you've accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And he knows you, but do we know him? And so as we grow in Christ, these things, how do we activate things that we desire? It's already a given. He's in you. Healing is in you. You know why healing is in you? Because God's in you. If God is in you, healing is in you. If God is in you, prosperity is in you. If God is in you, peace is in you. If God is in you, love is in you. It's in you. You don't have to ask for it. He came with the full package. But how is it activated in your life? You got to believe that you got it. And you have to say it. You've got to speak it. When you don't have peace, when you're not being loved, when you don't have health, when you don't have money, you don't have it yet, I need to set the thermostat over here to 70 degrees. I need to set it to prosperity. I need to set it to peace. I need to set it to what God has promised. And how do I do that? I have to send an impulse. I've got to first believe it. I've got to meditate on it. I've got to see that God's given me this. He's in me. If he's in me, love is in me. If he's in me, peace is in me. Think about that. Let's use this as an example. Go over to Philippians for a second. I'm going to close with this because we're sharing a lot today. I want you to meditate on it. But go over to Philippians chapter 4 and look at verse 6, 7, and 8. Let's connect this with these examples we use today here. Verse 6. Be careful or be anxious for nothing. That means not one thing. That's exactly what you can read in some of the modern translations. Don't be anxious or don't be worrisome about one thing. You go, really? Well, that's what the word says. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgivings, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. He didn't say, think on the anxious thoughts. He said, think on these things. So it's like this. I've got to come over here. Do I think about, boy, it's hot in here. Man, it's uncomfortable in here. It's really hot. I don't like this. But yet, you've got the capacity on the roof and the thermostat to set the impulse to the desired result. And it's available. It didn't say, think on how hot it is. it said, come over here and set the temperature to the desired result. And it'll change. And so that's what this is saying here. Don't think on those things that cause anxious concern. How do we change it? We begin to think on the things that are lovely and just and pure and honest and of a good report. And you begin to say it. You begin to speak it. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your heart and mind in Christ. So we're going to have to change. I didn't say it was going to be easy, because if we've done some things for a long time a certain way, then we have to change some habits and correct some things. But you can have prosperity. You can have the fullness of prosperity. You can have the fullness of healing in my body. And I begin to speak, if God is in me, if he's living in me, I've walked through some things physically to the place where I was 6 months from death, and the Holy Ghost began to speak to me and told me what to do. So I've been on both sides. I've been well and I've been sick. I like being healed better. And so it's the same thing with prosperity. We can change some things. And I remember years ago when I had some things going on in my body, I decided to just laugh. I didn't feel like laughing. I just decided to. You know, that's what you have to do. You have to decide, I don't like this. I don't like this, and I'm going to change this. So I'm home laying in bed with a very, very high fever. I didn't feel good. I was delirious. And I said, you know what? I'm healed, and I'm going to laugh at this. And I just decided to start laughing. And it was pitiful at first. I just said, ha, ha, ha. Didn't sound too convincing, but I just started to do it in faith. And you can do that and begin to laugh at your financial condition. You can begin to laugh at the symptoms in your body. You can begin to laugh at the turmoil in your life. And you can begin to laugh and say, God's in me. And he's working in my life. And he's changing things. And it sure don't look like it. But I begin to laugh at these symptoms. And I did it for about 15, 20, 25 minutes. Just ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. That's all I did. Ha, ha, ha. Because I wasn't feeling good. And then all of a sudden, down here, I felt stirring. Even in my weakness, in my not feeling good, I felt a stirring down here. And it stirred me to laugh more. And I began to go, ha! Ha ha! And it began to stir and stir and stir and stir, and the power of God hit me in my own room with such power. And I began to laugh at the full top of my lungs. Glory! Hallelujah! And I began to laugh. I mean a belly laugh. And I didn't feel, and it just come up out of here. Power! But it didn't start there. It started with a real lousy laugh. But I made a choice. I'm going to laugh. I'm going to laugh at this. And the power of God was stirred and released. And then the Holy Ghost spoke to me. Not about my physical condition. He began to speak to me about my finances. Well, I heard him loud and clear. This is what he said. If you will work the word in the area of finances, like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. And I went, whoa. And I knew it was the Holy Ghost, because I wasn't working the word in the area of finances. But I was in the area of healing. I was working it and working it and working it and working it with my lips. And so what he said to me is, if you'll just do the same thing right over here and change the application and do the same exact thing over in the area of your finances, you won't have room enough to contain it all. And I did. I started doing it. I just said, I see it. That was revelation. And so what am I saying? I'm saying, if we will take what we don't like or what something that God has promised and begin to believe in our hearts something that God has promised and begin to go over to that thermostat and change the temperature to what we want and begin to keep saying it, it'll come to pass. Because faith, speaking under the mountain, must not doubt in its heart, but believe that the things you're saying will come to pass. What does it say? You'll have it. And so I'm convinced that if we'll make these little corrections, we don't have to snibble and cry and, oh God, help me. No, he's just saying, make the correction. Just make the correction. I'll work with you. That unit on the roof will work night and day, 24 hours a day, won't sleep, doesn't make decisions. You do. And that's exactly, let's look at one more scripture. Go over to James chapter 3. This will be the last one, I promise. James chapter 3. And look at verse 4. Trying to pull some of these thoughts with scripture together here. James chapter 3, verse 4. It's talking about the tongue and so forth. But I want you to just look at this one scripture verse here. It says, behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds. See? You could have some fierce winds in your life, pushing and driving. And this says here, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. It's talking about the rudder, right? So the rudder can change the direction, even in fierce winds. But what does it say? Whithersoever the governor listeth. That means wherever that governor, whoever's steering the ship, wherever they decide they want to go, they turn the rudder in the direction that they want to go, regardless of those fierce winds, and it begins to do what? It begins to change the direction of the ship. It's no different over here. If you don't like the temperature, you decide. You decide. Where do you want to go? What do you want in life? What do you want to do? You begin to make that choice. And you begin to speak with your mouth, I'm going to do this. I'm going to have this. I'm going to go here. I'm going to do this. These principles are how this ministry got built. And it's going to be the same principles that sustain it. So when you hear us, like Minister Joe was saying, you know, call in $80,000 a week. You call in what the Lord directs you to call in. He directed us on that particular figure. We didn't pull it out of the air. And that amount, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, something we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. Do we have it? No. If we had it, why would we need to believe for it and call it in? You don't have it. So you call in, you believe for the things that you don't have. You set the thermostat, you set the goal, and the heart of man, if you keep saying, the heart of man will cause the power of God to be released. Your words will cause this power, the power of God, to be released in your life. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. We could meditate on this, and I'm going to tell you, but this is enough for today, enough to just take this and feed upon it. They'll have some CDs up here of these messages, of these, and get them. We don't charge for them, so if there's no charge, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. There's no charge. The only excuse you can have is, I don't have a CD player. I'll buy you one. No, Joe will buy you one. Yeah, Longhorn money. He's got my money. You know, it's not his, it's my money. Anyways, I hope you got a little something, but get the messages. If you don't get the CDs, go to the website and download the message, listen to it, play it, feed on it. And if you don't understand some things, ask. Ask God to reveal it. Ask someone who's, you know, maybe a little more mature in faith. Ask them. But if you teach the Word of God in a simple way, people will get it. And they'll understand it. So once you understand, the only excuse is you. Because God's waiting. It's like this power. If I go over here, and I turn these, so here's the power. If I come over here and I do this, we could sit in the dark all day. And I say, man, it's dark in here. Man, I'm telling you, I wish the lights were on. I'm telling you, you could hand out candles. You could get out all your iPhones with your little whatevers and wave them at everybody. And meanwhile, we've got the power connected. The lights are here. And all one has to do is do what? Make a decision. Go over here. Here's the light switch. I go over here and I set it to what? What I want. I turn the lights on. You like that? I know. I don't like sitting in the dark. I'm sorry. I want to see where I'm going. Amen. Glory to God. But I hope you get a little something, just something from this that you can walk away and say, you know what? I'm going to change this. I've been mulling around in this. I've been digging around in this for too long. And God's promised it. And if it takes 10 years, I'm going to get it. I'm going to have it. I'm going to own it. I'm going to do it. Because, see, God gets the glory out of that. And when we do things, it keeps reminding the devil he's defeated. And if we did it just for that, rubbing in his face, you can't have me, you can't make me live a life that's beneath the privileges that God has paid for. Amen.